All righty, we are set and ready to roll. Welcome to all of you. This is the Media Bids Power Hour, our educational program that will help you drive more ad sales. Whether we're talking about your print publications, your e-newsletters, or your websites, or all three, which is really what we want, we're here to help you with the tools, the resources, and specifically the strategies that will help you win. As you're getting settled in, it is not an accident that there's no live screen. We don't want you multitasking. We want you very focused on the work that we're doing here. Good old-fashioned note-taking in all of our work on almost 20 years, working with 2,000 publishing companies in 11 time zones around the world. What we know in our work and all the research about adult learning says the more notes that you're making, the more notes you're taking, the more we are transferring our knowledge to you. That's the coach approach, different than a training or trainer where we hope it sticks. If you're making notes, we know that the knowledge is transferring. We encourage you to just simply print the confirmation that brought you here. There's four key points that we're going to be covering today. Also know at the Media Bids website are more than 60 hours of educational programs. Absolutely and positively go into Media Bids, learn more about all that they offer, and let them help you make more money. With me is Jed, the CEO and founder of Media Bids.
That's right. Hi, Ernest.
Jed, how about some opening words? Let's say hello to the group, please.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining us. I want to, first of all, thank Ernest. He always does a great job with these teleseminars. I am the sidekick. He's the guy with all the knowledge. So I'm sure today will be no exception. Thanks again for everyone joining us. Media Bids, we've been around for about 13 years. We are in the business of driving advertising sales to publications. We do it in a variety of different ways. It doesn't cost anything to use us. We get paid only when ads are placed. Right now, we're in the heat of working on Mother's Day, we do all of the print buying and print placements for Pro Flowers. So if you're not currently running Pro Flowers for Mother's Day and you'd like to and you want to talk to us about it, please give us a call. Mother's Day is a huge holiday for them and they're a big client of ours. So we're that's what we've been wrapped up in.
Absolutely, and I can assure you, having worked with Jed for many, many years, he and his team do business the old-fashioned way. They deliver on their promises. What a concept. They will follow up. They will stay with you. They will work with ads that are specifically tailored to your readership, ads that will work, and then they will show you exactly how they track and confirm that those ads are working, and therefore that's how you get paid. It is an absolute win-win-win. You will win. Your publications will win because you've got a nice diversity of advertisers, and respectfully, MediaBid wins because they're the maestro. They're bringing that all together. When anytime you get a triple win like that, good things are happening all the way around. So, Jed, always a pleasure. So my name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. Going back since the 80s, I have been in ad sales. It runs in my veins. I have a deep passion for ad sales. I have specific strategies that will help you win, and there's no textbook or classroom here. Every one of the strategies I have done myself, I have deployed with my own sales teams, and I've worked with literally thousands of publications all around the world, just like we're working here, by phone, by email, by conference call, helping them on a weekly basis with their particular strategies. We do provide coaching and training. We have a recruiting division, which means we know how to recruit, and we have specific strategies, which, Jed, as you know, we've run programs just on hiring and the seven specific steps in order to make a good hire. We have an investment banking group, which means we know how to buy and sell publications and media groups and ad sales companies. If you ever want to make an acquisition, we will help you with that. And that means that we know exactly during our coaching work how to guide you so that on the day you're ready to sell your company, you can actually earn a premium. Everything we do is focused with the end in mind. We also have a search engine division of Power Hour, which means we know exactly how to move forward with optimization on your websites or specifically with your advertisers. For those of you who are interested in additional revenue on that, we run a very large LinkedIn group called Advertising Sales Success. We actually have 19 groups, Jed. We just capped out at 65,000 leaders, which means across LinkedIn, we're one of the top 208 groups of 1.6 million.
That's amazing.
that's a lot of clams, if you get my drift, because we're still in the distribution business, which means our footprint on LinkedIn is 24 million annually.
Wow.
24 million, 65,000 every single day. See what we have to say across our 19 groups. Why do we share this with all of you? Because LinkedIn is the single best sales and marketing tool that we have seen in 30 years, and we've done programs on that. So we encourage you to go back into the MediaBid site and go learn more about LinkedIn. It's part of your strategy. Lastly, with Power Hour, we provide a weekly sales academy. It is wonderful. Every Thursday, we record 15 minutes on a specific sales strategy. Every Tuesday, we go open mic. Different than this, open mic means we're interacting with you live and we field your questions. It is a phenomenal way to work with us on a weekly basis. It is the most cost-efficient way, meaning the least expensive way to come in and work with myself and our Power Hour team, and you will love what we do in our weekly sales academy. Go into Power Hour. You can learn more. Let's scamper right in. Today, we are going to be talking, Jed, about concise and correct compensation. And if we do this concisely and correctly, we get what? Aggressive advertising sales. Okay?
Right. Yep.
So the foundation for what we're going to talk about, there's four key points. Point number one, correct and concise compensation for those on your ad sales team, what matters most. Now, for those of you that are with us, we realize we have two audiences. We have those of you that are the CEOs, presidents, founders, publishers, et cetera, that are on the side of making ownership decisions from a leadership point of view. We also realize that we have a mixture and a very large group of those of you who are ad sales professionals, okay? So for those of you who are the leaders, this is geared for you and to you. For those of you who are on the ad sales side, this is also for you because you need to understand what drives compensation. You need to think about the way you drive compensation. And one day, when you're in a leadership capacity, you'll remember our program here today because there are skills that you need to know and to be comfortable and knowledgeable. Compensation is one of those sort of fuzzy things that are out there, and we hope today that we're going to bring clarity for all of you who are joining us. So, Jed, let's talk about correct and concise compensation, and it starts like this. You get what you pay for, and what you focus on will be in direct proportion to what you get and receive. For example, if you focus compensation on retention, your team will be passionate about retaining advertisers. If you focus it on bringing back former advertisers, your team will be focused on that. If you focus it on new biz, your team will be focused on that. So exactly what you focus on and what you pay for is in direct proportion to what you will get. If on the flip side, you're not getting what you want, meaning not enough new biz, not enough retention, not enough digital combined with your print, it's because your compensation program is not rewarding. You want to know what that shorthand means? I'm not paying attention. I'm not paying attention. If I'm out selling $1 million in advertising and you're paying me, you know, round numbers, $100,000, and I can only pick up a couple $1,000s because I sell ads into the e-newsletter, the website, guess what? I'm not paying attention. I'm not going to tell you that. But that's exactly what your compensation program is doing. It's telling those on your team exactly what they should be focused on. Now, if you pay me $100,000 and I've got $30,000 riding on digitals, on the digital in conjunction with my print, guess what? I'm now paying attention. Jed, does that make sense as we sort of set the framework here as we go into our program here today?
Right. Yeah. Definitely. So you know, basically, what you're saying is you the compensation package should be oriented towards what you want. You know what, where you want people focusing their time and effort,
exactly.
Which makes sense, right? And that's probably one of the reasons why many publications have a tough time with selling a lot of the ancillary items, right? Like whether it be, you know, web ads or, you know, whatever it is. You know, they have a tough time sometimes selling outside the core product, maybe in part because the compensation isn't directing people that way.
Absolutely, because my opening question is always, great, tell me what percent of the sales team's compensation is coming from digital? Mm-hmm. Or tell me how much is at stake? And they go, well, you know, they can pick up a little here and a little there. Good, and guess what you're getting? A little here and a little there with your digital sales.
Right.
There's a direct correlation between the two. So, for example, if I were keying up the map and I want to focus on going to see really great turtles, I might go to the Galapagos.
Right.
And if I'm focused on seeing, like, lions and tigers and bears, I might go where?
Right. Well,
Africa, right?
Africa for
same
lions,
thing.
Anyway.
So there we go. For those of you, that concludes our National Geographic part of our presentation. Stay tuned for more.
Right.
All right, so here we go. There is no perfect plan. Here's the piece. There is no perfect compensation plan. So if you think there's a compensation plan in the box, it's false. If you think that a compensation plan can be just whisked and you want to get on the calendar and talk to myself and my team for 30 minutes, oh, come on, Ernest, you've done this forever, you, your team, you've been doing this since the 80s, you've been working with companies around the world, surely you can wave a magic wand and give us a new comp plan. Not in this lifetime. Compensation plans must be done with a lot of care and a lot of planning. And by the way, a little teaser here, if you get them wrong, you could empty out half your staff or more. That's what we're playing for.
Right.
That's a lot of dynamite that you're holding. So recognize that we are not casual. So once again, there's no perfect plan, but there is a perfect plan for you and your team. Here are some of the factors. Some of the first things, Jed, that we'll ask, tell me, Jed, do you have a new publication? Is it a new startup? You want to grow revenue like a hockey stick? Are you a little more mature? You've been growing. Now you've stabilized, but you're still having nice growth. Or are you a little more mature? It's incremental. You might even have a little slippage. Where do you fit in with your revenue growth? Where do you fit in with how long you've been in business? Where do you fit in with the market share, the market percentage of what's happening? How many competitors do you have in print, by newsletter, by website, really? How many total dollars are really out there? All of these are factors because, quite honestly, if you're an upstart, you're going to have to be kicking really hard, and your compensation has to reflect that. There's a lot of risk and reward for a salesperson in anything on the newer side. Go to the more mature side, it's some version of kickback, we're cruising, everybody renews, everybody's in, and we are Mac Daddy in the swimming pool. There's nobody bigger than us. Now, those are the two extremes, okay, and then everybody else falls in the middle, okay? You're somewhere in the middle, depending on that. You're either cruising, drinking mint juleps because it's so easy, or you're fighting and clawing and your knuckles are bleeding because you're working so hard. For the rest, everything else falls in the middle, and you've got to discern where you are in that middle. So much of our strategic work, Jed, when we begin with a new advertising sales team and their leader starts right there. Where do you fall? Why do you fall there? How do you measure it? How do you know if you're succeeding or gaining? You know that we've done entire programs simply on the whole side of ad drop analysis. Literally, who's coming in to you as an advertiser, who's going out, who's going up, who's going down in their size and their ad campaigns, and likewise with competitors. We've done entire programs on ad drop analysis. But you have to have that because if you close your eyes and think about, I've got five competitors. I'm closing my eyes. Now, if there was a virtual rope, like the old tug-of-war rope, Jed, if we're on a schoolyard and we're pulling back and forth, try to imagine a rope that has a centerpiece and five pieces of rope, me and my competitors. What's actually happening, whether we can see it or not, is that every single issue and every single month, every one of those competitors are pulling on advertisers to gain more dollars. And,
right.
and whether we know it or not, and if we can't measure it, we don't know, but if we can, we can see who's pulled an inch or a millimeter or a foot or a yard, who's pulling and who's actually winning. By the way, if you don't know it, you can't lead. Strong statement, Jed. But if you don't know who's winning and why, you can't lead, and one day you're going to wonder why half or more of your ad dollars went away, and one day you're going to close your company. Strong words, but it's true.
Right.
We have to just get honest here. If you're going to be a leader, then you're responsible to be informed. And compensation, coming back around, there is no perfect plan. There is a perfect plan for you and your team. So once we assess, then we have to think about sort of compensation ratios. So when we're thinking about concise and correct compensation, if we are talking outside sales, the ratio between sales, salary, and commission needs to be as close to 50-50 as possible. Meaning, if I'm earning $100,000, 50% should be salary, 50% I should be earning. Now, in a couple minutes, we'll talk about the difference between employee-focused versus employer-focused compensation, and we'll kind of collapse and bring that all together. But for right now, just know that the closer you are to 50-50, the more aggressive your sales team will be, right? That's the subject we're talking about, aggressive ad sales. And the closer you are to 90-10, the less aggressive. And 80-20, a little better. And 75-25, a little better. And 60-40, even better. So
and
you
over,
have to know,
when you get over 50-50, then you start having retention problems.
Yeah, anything over that, sure. If you start to say, look, the salary's 20, you've got to go make 80. That does work, though, believe it or not, Jed, when you're working with more mature publications, more mature ad sales, meaning you've been around, you're the Mac Daddy, then you can do because it's very predictable. You know, I've got $1 million in ad sales. I got $1 million portfolio. It's the same million every year. They're not going anywhere. I've got three competitors. They're all bugs. I'm the big elephant in the room. You know, you can do 20,000 salary. In that case, 80,000 earned from the earnings because why? It's stable.
Right.
It's very stable. But that's really an exception. And I must say, in my earliest days of ad sales, when you, honestly, there wasn't the web. You know, you had the newspaper, you had the yellow pages, you had a little direct mail, TV, radio, and you had a couple of pub competitors. You know, I mean, look, I remember talking to newspaper reps in the through the 80s and the 90s. You know what they would say to me? Oh, yeah, it was another busy day in the office. Really, what did you do all day? Oh, the phone rang, and I just did some upsells, and, you know, there it was. That's all they did.
Right.
They were, it was, in those days, they, it was the simply the easiest walk-in-the-park sales job I had ever seen. In fact, after I began to interview them, I never hired another one of them in those days because they didn't know what it meant to compete. They didn't know what it really meant to put their shoes on and go to work and to sweat for a renewal or to sweat for a new sale. They didn't have to do it. By the way, Yellow Pages was the same way. Yellow Pages was the biggest candy land of all.
Right. Right.
All you did was go in, and you got paid for what? The upgrades.
Right.
And that was it. If you renewed for the same amount, you got $2, and if you went in and got an upgrade, you got $20, you know, and that's how you got paid. With the advent of the web, there are so many more competitors. It's tough to be Mac Daddy, but it is possible, and that's the exception, not the rule, but you can have comp models that could be 20,000 or 30,000 in base, and then the other 70 or 80 would come from you know, from the commissions, okay?
Right.
So those are the ratios on that. The other piece is, and this kind of leads us in, but how do we target compensation? Do we target based on just open-ended growth? Do we target based on budget and a plan? And we'll come back and talk about that in just a minute related to point number two. Jed, I want to weave in a couple of questions related to this first point. We have a question that came in from Don in Indiana that says, do incentives for new business work? And Don, I want to say to you, and there was a number of you that asked this question, I like incentives for new business. New business is the lifeblood of ad sales. We want to pay for that. Ad sales companies are honestly the best visual Jed I can give is like a shark that has to do what? Keep moving, keep feeding. And I like average sales groups that pay attention to that. I like individual, Don, just so you know. I like individual contests that reward success. I like team as well that brings team together. We did, Jed, an entire program called Can Your Walls Sell? Remember we did that about what goes up on the walls, how to measure the performance, how to recognize the team. So, Don, you might like to come into Media Bids and go look for Can Your Walls Sell? Because we did a whole deal that ties into contests and measuring performance and visuals that are really, really helpful. Anything to add to that, Jed, before I field another couple questions?
No, I mean, I guess the question on my mind, which might be on other people's minds, mm-hmm. is just that it's hard to, you know, it's hard to sort of make that leap, right? To say to a sales force that maybe isn't being compensated inordinately for new customers to just sort of flip a switch and say, okay, now go get them, you know, because it probably requires more than just a change in compensation.
Mm-hmm. It starts from the top. There's got to be a change of culture and expectation. There has to be accountability that we're not backing off from this. This is the new chapter as we go forward. And then there has to be a compensation plan that mirrors that, and then we have to provide the coaching and the training to succeed. So, you know, it's kind of like dominoes. You got to line them up. It's kind of like sighting a rifle. Everything's got to be in complete alignment. If you try to take a half step to say culturally, we've got to go get new business, but you don't provide the training, you don't provide the follow-through, and you don't go get the compensation, it's not going to happen. If you just put a new comp that drives for new business, but you don't provide the training, and then you don't provide the coaching and the support and the focus, it doesn't happen either. And then if you don't have the leadership. So everything in what we do, if we're going to go look at turtles, we're going to the Galapagos, we're going there, we know where, we're going to get transportation there, we're going to map our itinerary there, and we're going to go see some turtles.
Right.
Period. That's, you know, just bringing it back to, you know, the National Geographic part of our, you know, program today, right? So bottom line is yes. So, Don, I'm hoping that that's helpful for you. For those of you that have questions, we have a truckload of questions that came before. Just send an email to earnest@powerhour.com or simply hit reply to the confirmation we sent you, and we'll tuck those in. And if we don't get them in because we have so many, we'll follow up with you afterward, and we're more than happy to help you relate it to compensation. There was one other quick question. We had a question from Carol in New York who says, what is the time to roll out goals to your employees, the quarter before, the month before, the day before, and so forth? Carol, it's a great question. When we're talking about, I'm thinking you're talking about sort of quarterly goals. So if we were setting the stage, you know, for April, May, June, they really should come out about the middle of March, for example. So it's 2 weeks before the beginning of the quarter is about the norm. Now, if I'm a leader, I was at the beginning of March thinking about the second quarter, April, May, June, and therefore I was ready to go by the middle of March. We do a lot of work, Jed, helping our advertising clients and advertising teams and media groups and publications and so forth work on that. And what we like, Carol, is we like tiers of bonus and performance, gold, silver, bronze. We like that a team can positively earn at silver and gold. We don't like goals that are so high that it's puffery because that's negative, but you don't want to make them so easy that they're a walk in the park. Okay, so I'm hoping that answers your question, Carol. If you have a follow-through question, just ping us a quick note. Jed, let's talk about point number two that we agreed to cover here. Let's talk about the difference between employee-focused sales compensation versus employer-focused. And there's a really, really big difference, okay? Employee means I've got $1 million in ad sales, Jed. I could get up today or not. I'm still going to get paid my $100,000.
Right.
Sales could go up by $100,000. Great. Sales could go back by $100,000. Great. If any of you have stared in the eyes of a sales rep with employee-focused compensation and you wonder why they're not motivated, this is why they're not motivated, because you know what they're really thinking? I don't have to do a whole lot, and I'm going to get paid really well.
Right.
And for those of you who are leaders and owners of your ad sales teams, if that drives you crazy, it's why you're here, because you don't have a correct or concise compensation plan. You have a game plan that basically, a quick story, and Jed, you've heard this before, but back in the early 90s, I was launching a publication in Los Angeles. We were going to be monthly, and there was another publication that was in the market on a quarterly basis. And I reached out to the senior salesperson, realized that she had been there for a long time, said, hey, let me take you for lunch. I said, look, we're coming in. Here's our footprint. We're going to, you know, be very successful. We've got a very specific game plan. And by the way, we're monthly. I know you're quarterly. I'd like to recruit you. I'd like to talk to you about joining our team. I think you'd be a real asset, and for all these reasons, you could have great opportunity. She said, wow, I don't know why. She said, I don't know why I would ever want to work for a monthly. I said, really, why? She said, well, because I work for a month, but it's quarterly. I do nothing in the second and third month until the next quarterly comes out. She said, you could never persuade me to join your team. She was like mockingly laughing at me.
Right.
And I said, hey, listen, you know, Godspeed, go forward and, you know, rock on. I said, but in the next 24 months or less, we're going to close your publication. 15 months later, she was out of business, and that company closed down that because they couldn't compete. because there wasn't any sales focus. There was no energy. She sold for a month and then wrapped up and sat on the beach in Los Angeles for the second and third month. A, I knew that, which made me salivate. B, she never would have joined my team because that's not how we rolled. So that's an important piece. When we have open-ended compensation, when there are no resets, when revenue can rise or fall. Now, let's get clear. On $1 million in sales, if that's my portfolio, and I can go up or down by 100 grand, but it just impacts me a little bit as a percent of my overall compensation, you know, I'm not going to pay a lot of attention. But if I'm the leader or the owner of that media group and that media company or that publication or that website or that newsletter, guess what? If we went backward 100 grand, that hurt.
Right.
In fact, that 100 grand could actually represent $50,000 or $70,000 to the bottom line.
Right.
Because there is a scale of economy that says once an advertising group scales up, that even if your bottom line is 10 or 20% on the bottom line, every new dollar could easily come in at 50 or 70 cents for that new dollar. So it'll go backward 50 or 70 grand when a sales rep might have gone back $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000. You're being hurt by 50, 60, 70, and the sales rep, you know, all that got dinged by them was a few $1,000s in commissions. Now, let's go the other way. Employer-focused. This is also called sharp-angle compensation. Why is it sharp? Because it hurts. It means that a salesperson must absolutely put their shoes on every single day of every single year and go to work. Why? Because they're directly tied to the budget or a quota or a sales plan. So, Jed, in the example of $1 million, right, in employer focus, in order for me to earn a significant part, if I earn $100,000 this year, for me to earn a significant part of that next year, it's what I do above $1 million. And, in fact, if I were to drop below to $900,000, it might cost me $30,000 or $20,000 or $40,000. That's why it's sharp angled. It rewards us to be up over $1 million, and we earn most of our dollars, like in that Yellow Page example, where you earn most of our dollars on the upgrade. This is exactly that approach.
I see. And then would it increase presumably every year?
It does, because if I go up and I do $1,000,001 this year, next year I earn at $1,000,001 and up.
Right.
Okay? It does not have me resetting back to $1 million. What does that mean? I've got to get up and go to work. I've got to keep my current $1,000,001, and I've got to go hunt and pay attention to go get to $1,000,002 or $1,000,003. And if I slip back to $1 million, 20%, 30%, 40% of my comp may drift away. It's employer focused compensation. We are a significant fan of this kind of compensation model because the opposite is, honestly, $1 million, a little up, a little down, I still get paid. It doesn't reset. It's really not tied to any kind of budget or quota or plan. I can basically cruise. Now, for those of you on the ad sales side who have employee focused, meaning you can, you know, honestly go up or down, hey, guess what? You got a good plan, and you need to know that. But do not get complacent. Do not get on your heels, because one day it may change, and you need to be prepared for that. You need to act as though it has changed. You do want your million to go to 1.1 and 1.2, because one day if your manager or owner sits down with you, you want to be able to show why you have done the job. And in fact, which we'll talk about a little later, you may get grandfathered in if you can show that you've been doing the job. But if you grew from 900 to $1 million to $1,000,001, and then you went back to 800,000, I promise you, you're getting a new comp plan. And you're probably going to get terminated in the next 12 months if you don't change your performance. So if you treat it like a candy store and you eat too much, you're going to get a stomach ache. You need to drive your revenue. You want to, from a pride perspective, from an integrity perspective, but most importantly, you want to do it so that you might be grandfathered in when a new comp plan comes down, because when it does, if you're doing well, you can justify that. If not, you're going to be rolled right in, and you're going to have to now produce or leave. And I know that sounds painful and pointed, but this is sales. We get paid to perform. We get paid to deliver. And if we don't, we get terminated. There's not a lot of gray area. Much like in that shark example, the shark must move to feed to survive. And advertising sales teams must do the same, and you're part of that team. So that's the piece. Now, there were some questions, Jed, that came in related to this point. let's see. We had a question that came in. A question came in from and I'm not going to say the name on this one because it's from Kentucky, just broadly, but I'm not going to but the question is, what do you do with those who become rich and lazy? Okay? So for our participant today, I think I addressed it, because if we have compensation plans that are employer-focused, that doesn't exist. The rich and lazy is because compensation plans have no boundaries, have no defining line, and just sort of grow. A quick example, Jed, in this. It was a group out of Texas. Early days in a media group. They had been in Florida, very successful. They were expanding into Texas. And the gentleman who was going to step in and go grow that had literally no revenue. Company said, hey, listen, we'll pay you, 10%. On, whatever you bring. And he was like, it's 10% of nothing, but, hey, look, I'm willing to go do the work. That division in Texas grew to more than $40 million. He still was earning 10% on $40 million, meaning $4 million.
Wow.
I know this gentleman. He retired at 38 years old. Because he's never worked another day in his life. Okay, because he got what? Rich and very happy and very lazy. I was there going into a board meeting with this person, and he was terminated 2 days after that because the board looked at it and said, man, we're paying him a ton of money, but he's not even doing anything. I think he came in the office, twice a week at best, right, like a mail. Okay, so for the question from our participant in Kentucky, hope that is helpful for you. Jed, let me see. There's another question. Here's another one that came in from Ohio. I'm just going to speak broadly. Can you move an order taker to becoming a productive advertising representative? The answer is positively. Shift compensation, you will shift performance. When I hear the word order taker, that's a flag out of the gate. Jed, for me, it's like order taking, ad sales. Man, that's a long time ago. I think we all heard those words in the days of Yellow Pages, newspapers, publications in general, pre the web. I think you could have an order taking environment, but I think we can agree those days are really long gone. Do you concur with that?
Well, I think they should be. I mean, I guess the problem is, that there are a lot of publications that are out there that still sort of depend upon advertisers to sort of interact with publications as order takers. So,
yep.
So you have someone who has a 10-week contract, for example. If fulfilling that contract means that your rep has to go there every single week to pick up an ad and pick up payment or make a change to the ad, whatever it may be, bring a tear sheet, it's tough to kind of get out of that cycle unless you sort of make some system changes. And then it gets to a point where, your best salespeople are really just order takers because that's all they have time to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, which leads us into what? The third portion of what we're going to cover, right? Because that's what happens. That you're exactly right, Jed, that if
right.
you have those who are very, very solid and strong and they go on to build a portfolio, let's pretend in that $1 million example, I start with nothing. I start with $200,000 in advertising agreements. It grows to four, it grows to eight, it grows to a million. At some point, I'm going to reach what's called the ceiling of complexity. And the ceiling of complexity is exactly this third point. So our third point is what happens when our advertising sales superstars who have sold more advertising than they can handle, and they're now well-paid service reps. The ceiling of complexity is a simple concept. Put a glass of water on the counter. Fill it up. There's only so much water you can put in that glass. That's it. So if I fill up my day with sales, renewals, prospects, there is no way for me to go drive new business. You have now created the most overly well-paid service rep, which was also not your goal. It does tie in, Jed, into that rich and lazy, but it's not exactly that. See, it's the responsibility of the leaders and the leadership to look across the bow and say, look, for my 4 sales reps or my 44 sales reps or my 400 sales reps, who is where and where are their cups?
Right.
It's my job as the leader to look at every one of those cups to discern who's where. And how do I know that where they are? Well, percent of new biz is an indicator. Retention percentage, another indicator. Upselling and cross-selling, another indicator. Another simple one from my CRM. Jed, if I look at Lucy's account and Lucy has 200 prospects and she touched 190 prospects by phone, by email, in person in the last 90 days – Lucy's rocking. If I've got Tim, who's touched 10% of his 200, I got a problem.
Right.
Now, if Tim has got a full portfolio, let's call it $1 million, I know why. Tim's cup is full. If Tim is carrying 100,000 and touching 10% of his CRM, what problem do I have now?
I mean, the opposite. You know,
the opposite.
Right.
I feel like we have a failure to communicate. I think we got a problem here, Billy Ray.
Right.
Okay, now we've got a performance issue. Now we've got a coaching issue. So you see, this compensation keeps coming back. It's like the never-ending seesaw, you know, a little playground where kids go back and forth. You're doing the same thing as leaders. By the way, sales reps, remember, we got a mixture of those of you who are here today. Sales reps don't have your hand in the cookie jar. Don't have 200 prospects and be touching 10%. Maybe not today, no one is saying anything, but tomorrow they will. And you're going to have a very pointed conversation with your sales leader or the owner of your company or whomever you report to. Don't have that happen. You're by definition a leader, which is why you're here with us today. So part of what you're listening to is what leaders think about. So if the day comes that... for the first time in the 40-year history of your advertising sales company, somebody pulls your CRM report and puts it up on the board, you are going to be frosted. Be proactive. Be smart. Work your prospects. By the way, if you can't work them, let your sales manager know that. Maybe you really should have 100 prospects, and maybe no one's talking about it because everyone who has 200 can't get to them because we all know that our cups are so full that we only can get to 100. So this piece about this is a really big deal about how full the cups are. Remember that every sales rep, here are the words, every sales rep will have a cap. It's your job as a leader to discern who is where and where they're capped. Meaning, and what I mean by capped, Jed, I mean that they'll have a cap of their capacity. We're not capping their earnings, but everybody, just like that glass of water, has a glass, and you have to discern how full it is and where it is. By the way, for those, Jed, when we think about those who burn out, it's because their cup is full, the water's flowing everywhere, they're top sales producers, management and leadership hasn't identified the problem, that person burns out and does what? They leave.
Leave, right.
Yeah, they leave. Okay, if you want to know why you're losing your top producers, because the water's spilling and they can't get it all done. The other piece to recognize is this is where you have to step in. And you have a couple of options in order to relieve this. It ties into compensation, Jed. You have inside sales support or admin that you can offload all the admin. Quick example of that. I'll go get the sale. You go run all the copy. You get the photos. You get the graphics. You do all the proofing. That's a nice admin inside sales option. So therefore, I can keep selling. I'm like that shark, but all I've got to do is throw that agreement up on the beach, and I can keep on swimming.
Right.
Don't make me stop.
Right.
And sales leaders, if you do that really, really, really well, man, your sales superstars will show you how to get from $1 million to $2 million to $3 million in revenue. End of story. They will show you how to get there. Okay.
Yeah, that's always made a lot of sense. You don't hear too many publications who do that well, but that makes a lot of sense.
It does. And okay, look, here's the math, right? The math is that if you offload, you know, all the behind-the-scenes production stuff to an inside sales or an admin person, that might run you, you know, $10,000 a year in support.
Right.
And that salesperson is going to go out and drive another $500,000 or $1 million in revenue. And remember that all those new dollars come in at 50 or 60 or 70 cents on the dollar. I mean, do the math.
Right.
Let's go get another $1 million. Let's go push $500,000 to $700,000 at the bottom line, and it costs us $10,000 in admin support.
Right, and you know, the other issue too, which we're, you know, which this isn't really the right teleseminar to get into it, but you know, is that the skills that make someone good at selling are exactly sort of the inverse skills that make someone really good at detail oriented work. You know, a lot of kids, you know, I mean,
so
stereotypically speaking, you know.
No, forget stereotypical. It's
right.
True.
Yep.
You just hit it right on the head that the best salespeople are what? People engaged, multitaskers, and have limited attention to detail. Do you think I want to have to go back and go check on my 20 ads to see if we got all the proofs? Do we got all the photos? Do we got all the graphics? Do we got all the files? That ain't my gig, baby. That's not my deal. I need a catcher to catch that, and the catcher's expertise is what? Very steady, single tasker, high attention to detail. Jed, you hit it right on the head. I mean, you know, if I want to play the trombone, don't keep giving me a piano. Let me play my music, right? A shark wants to swim, not on the beach, okay? They're not going to survive. Sales leaders want to swim towards more sales and more revenue. Don't drown them in the admin stuff. And let me tell you something. As a leader, and we've done this, Jed, over and over, literally hundreds of times with our clients over the last 18 years, we start to talk about comp. We start to talk about, you know, who does what in a team. Let me tell you. You want to know the single greatest meeting you ever run with a sales team, you tell them you're offloading admin stuff. You tell them you're offloading production stuff, the follow-through. They go through the roof. You got a morale issue or problem? This is how you solve it.
Yeah, until they hear about the $1 million quota, right?
Yes, but how about the fact they can earn $200,000 rather than $100,000? Right?
No, you're right. And right? if someone, you know, I mean, most people who are good salespeople are sort of overconfident in their abilities, right? So so chances are, you're right. If you give them a path to making more, they'll jump on it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So a couple of pieces. That one way to do it is you can offload to admin or inside sales. Another way to do it, Jed, you can offload smaller accounts, smaller ads, smaller buys. You know, it's not unusual when you start new with a company, you get a whole list of A accounts, B accounts, C accounts, right? And the best salespeople say, look, I'm going to sell everything because I'm new, and if I'm new, I'm probably going to go sell to C. They're easy. I get a little momentum. And then when I really get going, it's nothing but Bs and As, and eventually it's nothing but the A accounts, right?
Right.
You can offload the Cs. You can offload the Bs. Give that to a junior salesperson. When you do that in comp, though, you have to be careful, because if you offload $100,000 of small stuff, the very first thing the sales rep is going to say what?
After you offload it?
After you offload, you take $100,000 from my million portfolio.
Right, they're going to
first
say,
thing a sales rep is going to say is, but right. Now how do I get what?
Right, $100,000. Where did my extra $100,000
come? Paid, exactly. And the way that you do that, okay, is you say to them, oh, no, hang on, we're going to offload $100,000. I'm still going to pay you your 10%, just like we did all along. They're going, oh, okay, great. And then the opposite is that then the next question, the logical is, then I'll hear from my publishing clients and those that we work with and our advertising sales teams, and they'll go, okay, but wait a minute, but you're going to have to pay someone else to go run those C accounts. Yes, we are, at a greatly reduced rate. They might earn it 3% or 4%, but I know that I'm going to pick that up. Why? Because my superstar is going to go out and go sell
right.
another million on the other side, easily covering the 3 or 4% that I'm going to pay for that $100,000 over on the side.
Right.
Okay? Very, very easy to justify. It is not hard to do. That's where many get stuck, right there. What we just shared in that sentence, many leaders get stuck. Well, wait a minute. Hang on. If I'm going to move, you know, $100,000 from Jed, but Jed still wants to get paid, I'm still going to pay his 10% there, but then I'm going to have to pay somebody else. Yes, you are. 3-4%. Those are house accounts on that side. Easy. They're small accounts. They tend to be relatively stable, and now I can let my superstar go out and go get another 100, 200, 500, a million on the other side. That's good business. Think about the visual. Cup of water, it's full, it's overflowing. Go spill half that water out. Go spill a fourth of that water out. Give a salesperson the opportunity to go fill it back up with what? Highly profitable new dollars on the other side. Jed, let's field a couple of questions here.
Yep.
We've got a question from a participant in Canada, the Great White North. What is the correct level of compensation to encourage sales reps to expand their number of clients? Well, we've been talking about that, but if you're really looking for new clients to expand their new, then you need to tweak your comp plan to reward more for new. So, for example, it might be 7% for existing, 12% for new, and then new has to be defined by what? New means they've never been, you know, on our website or on our newsletter or in our print. New means they advertise with us, but it's been 24 months or longer. I'll tell you another one that I like, Jed, not so much defined by new, but I took them from a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a focus on going after competitors, and I've pulled them from the competitor. That is also worth a larger compensation. We have another question from one of our participants in Indiana. Is it a good idea to switch account lists to have your better salespeople develop a weak list? The answer is yes. I like to look at a prospect list on a quarterly basis, semi-annually, you know, is fine. You know, basically two or three times a year, every 120, 150 days, you want to take a look to see. In that simple example, I've got 200 prospects. Lucy has, you know, touched 90%. I've touched 40%. It should be a signal that I'm drowning or I'm not getting to them. You want to move those around. One condition about moving accounts is that if I've made a presentation, if this is going to be the twice a year or three times a year that you're going to come in and review, the one caveat is you've got to give a salesperson some window of time to wrap up a sale. So it goes like this, Jed. If I made a presentation, you know, in the month of April and rotations are going to happen in May, I should be given 60 days to wrap up that April presentation. If not, then that rotates as well.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep. Yeah, it does.
Okay. You have to do that. You know, you always have to, Jed, honor the golden rule. You know, treat people like you want to be treated. Try to always put yourself in the eyes of the sales rep. What's incentive for me to go out and make 12 presentations in April when in May you're going to rotate them all out? And how weird is that, that I went out and made 12 presentations, me, and Jed, in 4 weeks, you're going to follow up with them. The advertiser is going to go, what happened to Ernest? Jed, I like you, but what happened to Ernest? He was just here 3 weeks ago. It
right.
doesn't make sense. So you also have to look at it through the eyes of advertisers. So another great question. Let's see. We had another one here. Let's see. I think that was it related to this third point. Jed, anything else, any other comments or observations before we come around the bend to our last point?
No, I mean, I think your point about rotating makes a lot of sense because you know you can sort of see the power of a new face, anytime you hire someone new, right, and they start in a territory that has been covered by the same person for a while. Invariably there's always accounts that come in that hadn't been in for a long time. And my theory sort of back when I was operating newspapers was always mm-hmm. that, you know, after someone gets said no to enough times, the way that they ask, the way that they present becomes different than if they don't know any better. So
right.
you could have the toughest advertiser out there who's been rude and uncooperative for years. Mm-hmm. You get someone new in there and they have a different way of asking. And I think that is partially because they just don't know any better. And that mm-hmm. sort of invariably, yields returns.
Absolutely. And I've had some have said, so how do you rotate? You know, give us the theory and the thinking. And I think, Jed, somewhere in the 60 hours that we've done over the years, I think we did one on that. But let me just give just a little capsule. I've seen rotations made because geography made sense. I'm in the north part of the territory. You're in the south where, you know, it's in person. Let's divvy up by geography. I've seen divvying up done by experience. You know, for those that have worked in the agency side and are very high level, in our academy this past week, Jed, we were working on the difference between how do you sell to an expert buyer versus a professional buyer versus a newbie buyer. We were calling out those three tiers, and then we were talking about specific strategies. So if I have agency background and I'm going to work with experts at the agency side, sometimes we match up that way. Sometimes we match up by male-female. You know, literally around, sitting around a table, it's almost like we're divvying up, you know, playing cards or like playing poker. Okay, listen, I got this one. You know, the click has not been, you know, really good. Female to female, I think we need a male salesperson. I've seen men sell well to men. I've seen men sell well to women. I've seen women sell, you know, good to each other to women, and women sell good to men. It's important to sometimes match it up. I mean, I've had sales reps that have said, God, for 2 years I couldn't open that door. And we switched, and because of the male-female dynamics, it worked better. And it cuts both ways. This isn't. I have never found any advantage, male or female. It's more aligning. Jed, I think you know I play nationally ranked tennis. Most recently, I was one of the top in the top 30 in the 40s and the 45s. It's not because I'm the greatest tennis player in the world, but I can tell you within 5 minutes of on the court, I know your forehand. I've fed you low forehands, high forehands, short backhands. I've already figured a game plan. Then I watch you serve before we even begin tonight. I'm going to walk on the court at 8 o'clock tonight with a guy I've never met. I have 5 minutes to figure out my game plan. Within the first three games, I'm going to see if my game plan is working. And within the first set, if it's working successfully, I've already won that set before my opponent has even said hello, literally. Now, I'm only playing with a $3 can of tennis balls. We're talking about ad campaigns that could represent $250,000 if we do it right. And if we don't get it right, we fail. We get nothing.
Right.
Okay, so it's about matching up personalities and profiles. Let's go to our fourth point, and we have a couple of additional questions. For those of you that continue to send your questions in, just simply send them to Ernest@powerhour.com or send a quick reply to the confirmation that we sent you, and we'll keep working and weaving those in because, Jed, the questions keep rolling in, and my team behind the scenes keeps filtering them into where it relates. So let's talk about the fourth point. What are the steps for implementing new sales compensation plans? How does this impact our current and existing team members? How does it impact new team members, okay? And ultimately, will compensation plans drive aggressive advertising sales, all right? So a couple of words here. Carpenter's rule. Measure twice, cut once. Do not get compensation plans wrong. You let them out of the box. You let them out of the little genie out. You can't put them back in. So you got to go slow. You've got to go careful in this. You heard earlier myself and Jed say that if you do it wrong, you can lose 50%, half your team or more. You could have a mass exodus if you do this incorrectly. So do not treat it casually or lightly. Anytime you're messing with compensation, you're in sacred ground. Get it right and make certain you've done the work. A little tip related to this, whenever you're doing modeling related to compensation and compensation changes, you want to run it past a couple of your key people. Obviously, in confidence, A, you fold them in because you want their support. B, you fold them in because you want their objections or observations. Okay, now I'm going to tell you the first thing that they're going to do. If on $1 million I earned $100,000 in my current plan, if I were to sell $1 million again, what would I earn?
Right.
You have to answer. You know where I'm going, right? On that, Jed?
Yeah.
You have to answer that before they do it. That's what they're going to run their calculator on immediately. Okay, you have got to show them the risk plus reward. The risk is what? If you don't keep selling or renewing or adding new biz or taking ads from competitors. The reward is, here's the upside.
Right.
Now, when you build this, you have to do some modeling. This is one of the single most important pieces in any kind of sales compensation plan. You've got to go out and model 1, 3, and 5 years. Remember that example, Jed, that I gave about the $40 million in sales?
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman was making $4 million? Somebody didn't model that out. They didn't say or imagine that in 10 years, that zero revenue would one day be $40 million, and they'd have a sales rep that came in twice a week to pick up mail.
Right.
Okay? And they didn't imagine that they'd have to fire that person because they were doing nothing, and that person who retired at 38 years old said, That's the biggest Candyland I ever made, and I'll never make that money again in my life. But I don't need to.
Right.
I'm a multimillionaire before 40.
Right. Do you when you're trying to implement a new system, do you ever do it gradually, where you say, you know, okay, you know, we're gonna, I'm just making this up, but you know, we're gonna give you a percentage over a certain quota plus a smaller percentage on, you know, on your, you know, on the you know, on your total sales, and then say, you know, in a year from now it's gonna, you know, it's gonna shift by another 5% and so on.
Jed, word for word, okay, we call that grandfathering,
okay,
or stair-stepping. Grandfathering means you're a top producer. I can see that you grew from 800 to 900 to 1 million to 1,000,001 to 1,000,002. Hey, Lucy, I'm going to grandfather you. I'm not changing your comp. Lucy, just so you know, we're hiring 3 more people this week. Every single one of them is on this new compensation plan. Boom, done.
Right.
Love you, Lucy. You're rocking. You know, go forth and keep on rocking.
Right.
That's grandfathering. Stair-stepping is a little different. Stair-stepping means that we're going to step in a piece of the plan this year, a piece next year, and a piece the following. So over the next 12 and 24 and 36 months, here's what's coming, and you do it a little piecemeal at a time. This year, we're going to just add in the new biz. Next year, we're going to weave in retention. Next year, we're going to add in the digital piece, or however you're configuring that component.
Right.
Okay? So that's stair-stepping. And by the way, it doesn't have to be 12, 24, 36 months. It can be 12 weeks, 24 weeks, 36 weeks, depending on how urgent or what it is you're looking to do. Quick comment just in general related to the selling of digital. It has got to be bundled into compensation. We've done entire programs about the importance of how to bundle it into your rate card, merchandising rate cards. It's got to be part of everything that's going on. We have got to be selling the digital and the print, because advertisers expect it. And if you're not in the hunt with print plus e-newsletter plus website, you are behind. You are losing ground. And remember that little, you know, close our eyes, tug of war, 5 ropes that are pulling. You're being pulled away. You're losing on that side. And whether you measure it or can see it or not, I'm telling you, and we're telling you, you have got to weave in the digital side combined with the print. Okay, we were speaking with a group just this last week. Let's see, what did they say? Oh, let's see, their annual circle is about 400,000. We rolled up their website and we rolled up their e-newsletter, and they pick up another 300,000 annual visitors and readers and subscribers. 300,000. All they were tracking was in selling the 400,000 in print, completely missing the other 300,000.
Right.
Completely. It wasn't even in their media kit. It wasn't in their presentation. We were in our weekly sales academy, Jed, and our, you know, we were working through this. And I'm going, the numbers don't add up. Let's go run the numbers. Let's go run this. By the way, what are your readers on the newsletter? Okay, blah, blah, blah. What are your annual readers on the web? I'm like, holy smokes. You got another 300,000 in annual readers. Person says, you know, I've worked for the company for 3 years. I've never run the math like that. Well, that's how we do it. Now, how do we roll that up? How do we sell that? What should our cost per thousand be? We stair-step them through. They were bundling the digital piece in at about 3% more than the print. We were like, that's not even close. It needs to be an increase of 26%. Here's the reason why. And then we talked the same conversation. Current advertisers, you're going to stair-step them toward the 26. New advertisers pay for the new 26%. They've never seen a rate card before. They don't know the difference. It was
right.
That big an epiphany walking down this bundled conversation. Let me let me weave in a couple of questions that came in related to number 4. A group in New York who says, what percent commission should a rep continue to get after they brought in a new client and the client continues to renew? I am not a fan. I know what the question is. I am not a fan of new biz comes in at 10% and we renew at 6%. What does that do, Jed? It just discourages retaining biz. We want to reward retention of biz, retention of ads. And some will say, yeah, but it's a gravy trainer. Yeah, it's easy. Okay, now that's different. It's different if you took $100,000 and moved it to an inside salesperson. You call that a house account. They might earn 4%. But do not penalize your superstars. Do not pull in the rein on your sales leaders. They're paid for new biz. They're paid to retain biz. Pay them for that. And in fact, if you really pushed me, I'd say, guess what? I'd pay 12%. 12% on a renewal, more than the classic 10, to give even more incentive to keep the biz. It is highly profitable to keep biz. Here's the other part. In just a quick example, when you have to go sell or unsell or resell someone who's a former advertiser, meaning you didn't get the renewal, that is three times harder. And technically, if you only have, I'm making this up, Jed, if you only have 500 total prospects that are a perfect target for your ad sales, and 490 of those are former advertisers, meaning we didn't retain them,
right,
that is painful.
Right.
Painful. You know what every meeting is? Yeah, no thanks, we canceled. No thanks, you didn't get results. No thanks, we're with somebody else. Every meeting begins with, kemosabe, no thanks. They're like, whoa, wait a minute.
Right.
That is a horrible way to spend your days. So honestly, I'm not a fan. In the gravy train years, when it was easy to keep stuff pre the web, I know that when that happened, there were two flights of comp, and it was different then. It is no longer the case. So I'm hoping for our group in New York that answers your question there. Let's see. There was another question. Biggest problem we're having, let's see, this is a group in Florida who said, problem we're having is getting people through their first year, starting with guarantees, transitions, commissions. It's not happening fast enough. Here's the piece. You've got to build a roadmap. You've got to build a legitimate roadmap. It's my first day. What will I earn in the first 30 days? It's my next 30 days. What will I legitimately earn? You've got to build a roadmap. There can be some draw in there. There can be some sliding scale commissions. There's some nice ways to do it. It reminds me, Jed, of sort of gliding in the space shuttle. That's how you've got to do it. You've got to glide somebody in and show them how to ramp right back up and be able to succeed. And if you don't do that well, then you're going to have a lot of failure people that come in their first year. And what does that mean? A ton of training went on. Let's see, a ton of work went on to find and recruit. A ton of training went in to get them ramped up. A ton of coaching has gone on to help them succeed. And 6 or 8 months in, they leave. Nothing more painful than that.
Right.
Jed?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, it also could be a function of hiring people with the wrong that are motivated by the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
Most good salespeople are pretty good at sniffing a compensation plan early and seeing how it's going to pay off for them.
Correct.
Good salespeople tend to be best at selling themselves, right? So it's as much a function of someone just not being that comfortable with sales.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're absolutely right. So the bottom line is, if you are struggling to keep people in the first year, it is in direct proportion to a compensation plan that is not cutting it, period. Your compensation plan has got to take that little acorn and grow it into a redwood, and it's got to be a reasonable plan. If you're not, if you do not have a compensation plan that is reasonable to get them there, then that little acorn is going to grow up, be a little sprout, and then it's just going to get walked over, and they're going to leave. And you're going to feel like you're constantly finding acorns, growing little stumps, and failing. And there's nothing worse. And again, in the world of advertising and media sales, it's never ever been more competitive. It's never ever been more intense in terms of what a person needs to know. It's the reason why, Jed, we do our Power Hour Sales Academy every week, because there's so much to cover. We have 8 pages of topics. We have no end in sight. There's so much that you have to know in order to succeed in advertising sales, and we do it weekly. Why? Because we keep infusing that knowledge, and then for 7 days we let all of our members go out and do it and then come back and tell us, how's it going? How's it working? What do you need next? Okay?
Right.
Alrighty, we're right at the top of the hour. My goodness, Jed, we have covered so much ground. A conversation about concise, correct compensation equals aggressive advertising sales. Let me turn it back to you. How about some closing words for our group, and then we'll wrap up here.
Great. Well, thanks again to everyone who joined us. Thanks to Ernest for all the information. We look forward to having you back next month.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And thank you, Jed. It's always a pleasure to you and your team. Always a joy to work with you and your team. For all of you, please go to MediaBids.com. Please go learn more about the work they're doing. Remember the triple win. You're going to drive more revenue. Ads are going to be in your publication that have real credibility, and ultimately everyone's going to make money from that, okay? We'll see you back next month. If you have any topics that you're inspired by, if you have any questions for Jed or myself, please send them to us. We always love them, and your topics inspire us, and you're helping us to push for more and to give you more tools and resources that will help you win. So as always, we sign off with keep smiling, keep selling, and compete ferociously. Jed, always a pleasure, okay?
All right, thanks very much.
All right, take care.
All right, talk to you. Thanks, everyone.